Welcome to Business English Pod, a great way to improve your English skills on the go.
Business meetings. Discussing a business proposal. A meeting to discuss a business proposal is usually an integral part of creating a business plan. While it is common for the proposal to be written by one person, it is common for team members or prospective clients to be available during such meetings to give their opinions and inputs on what they feel should be changed or included. The person who has written the proposal should be prepared to answer questions on the content and should be open to the revisions that may be necessary. The functional language involved in such a discussion focuses around two key areas. Firstly, we often find the conditional tense being used in such discussions, since the proposal has not been accepted yet. Secondly, auxiliary and modal verbs, also known as helping verbs, are commonly used along with words and phrases indicating personal opinions and suggestions as the speakers speculate about the future. An unsolicited proposal is one that is created by a small company or a charitable organization that wants to collaborate with a larger firm to increase the scale of its activities and approaches larger firms independently with its proposed course of business. In this dialogue, you will hear a conversation that two members of a non-governmental organization, NGO, have with a prospective charitable donor. Joyce has written the proposal and is discussing the details with her colleagues, Nicholas, and the prospective donor, Michelle.
Well, there you have it, Michelle. I hope you feel that our new project is worth contributing to. I must say you've done a great job, Joyce. I just want to clarify a couple of things, but overall it's pretty comprehensive.
Thanks, Michelle. We're glad you like it.
We'd be happy to make any clarifications that you need. Well, I'd like to focus a bit more on the objectives of this project. Specifically, what would you say makes it different from the hundreds of similar projects that are already established in the city?
Thanks for asking, Michelle. We actually feel that this project has a unique angle to it in the sense that we're trying to involve individuals as well as organizations.
Could you elaborate on that? Certainly. We feel that by approaching individuals to incorporate contributions in their daily lives, we could involve more people on a larger scale in this project.
The idea behind it is to create awareness and also help individuals to discover how they can be part of something larger.
Don't you think it would ultimately be a disadvantage, even if the thought behind it is ambitious? How much would individuals be able to contribute? And in what way?
Well, we believe that it could work, since this way we would have more individual volunteers.
Plus, we would be able to use larger donations better, since having more volunteers would help us spread our operations to more areas. What if you could get, say, fewer than 100 volunteers? Wouldn't that put a spoke in the wheels?
Actually, even around 100 volunteers would be an increase of over 20% when compared to the average volunteer resources at soup kitchens in the city.
Also, we already have a team of over 200 members, including volunteers and part-time staff, so extra resources would be a bonus rather than an absolute necessity. Well, that makes sense. One more thing that I felt could be a minor drawback. You've proposed renting a new premises or leasing one at a reduced rate. How is that going to work?
It could be a big advantage if we did manage to get it. Ideally, an unused warehouse or office building owned by a corporation could be a good option, and we were hoping that was one specific area where you might be able to help us out.
Well, I could certainly find out if we can do something for you in that area. Thanks, Michelle. That would be great.
In this conversation, we hear the three speakers discussing the proposal that Joyce has written on behalf of her NGO. Joyce and Nicholas have approached Michelle with their proposal in the hope that her company will be able to make a contribution to their cause. We also see that the speakers use the conditional tense in the dialogue, using would rather than will to refer to the future, since the proposal has not yet been implemented or established as successful. We use would rather than will to refer to future events that we are unsure about. Let's listen to how Joyce and Michelle use the conditional tense in the following statements.
We'd be happy to make any clarifications that you need. Well, I'd like to focus a bit more on the objectives of this project. Specifically, what would you say makes it different from the hundreds of similar projects that are already established in the city?
We'd and I'd are short forms of we would and I would, and indicate the speaker's desire to talk further about a specific aspect of the discussion. Later in the discussion, we'll also look at how the conditional tense is used to refer to the expected result of the application of the proposal. The speakers also use phrases such as, I think, I believe, and we feel, to indicate their thoughts on the results that the proposed actions could generate. Here's how Nicholas uses such a phrase.
Thanks for asking, Michelle. We actually feel that this project has a unique angle to it in the sense that we're trying to involve individuals as well as organizations.
Nicholas wants to convince Michelle that the proposed actions will lead to positive results and uses the phrase, we feel, to let her know that his organization has put some thought into the objectives and are convinced that their ideas will work. Joyce also does the same when she says,
we feel that by approaching individuals to incorporate contributions in their daily lives, we could involve more people on a larger scale in this project.
Joyce also uses the modal verb could in this sentence to talk about future possibility. While could expresses future possibility, can expresses current and future ability. When discussing a proposal, however, it's more appropriate to use could instead of can, since all actions are conditional upon the proposal being accepted. Next, we see how Michelle makes a clarification using a specific sentence structure that lets the others know that she has doubts about something, although she phrases it in a way that indicates to them that she wants to hear their opinions on the issue. She says,
don't you think it would ultimately be a disadvantage, even if the thought behind it is ambitious? How much would individuals be able to contribute, and in what way?
Beginning questions with phrases like, don't you think, allows your listeners to understand that you have a suggestion or question and would like to know what their opinion on the topic is. It's more polite to phrase your point as a question rather than say something like, I don't agree, or that may be a bad idea. Using approximate numbers rather than exact figures in discussions is known as the language of approximation. It helps you draw attention to a particular aspect of the statistics in either a positive or a negative way. Let's see how this is done by the speakers. First, Michelle uses the language of approximation to draw attention to what she thinks is a negative aspect of the proposal. She asks,
what if you could get, say, fewer than 100 volunteers? Wouldn't that put a spoke in the wheels?
Here, Michelle uses the phrase, fewer than 100, to emphasize her point that even 100 extra volunteers may not be enough to carry out the project successfully. Note that fewer is used to refer to countable nouns, whereas less is used to indicate the quantity of uncountable nouns. Next, we see how Joyce uses the language of approximation in a positive sense. Let's listen to how she does that.
Also, we already have a team of over 200 members, including volunteers and part-time staff, so extra resources would be a bonus rather than an absolute necessity.
Usually, fewer than indicates that the number is too small and more resources are needed, whereas over or more than suggest that the number is adequate. We also see that the speakers use specific language to discuss the pros and cons or the advantages and disadvantages of the proposal. Michelle uses the phrase, a minor drawback, to draw attention to what she thinks may be a disadvantage in the proposal.
Well, that makes sense. One more thing that I felt could be a minor drawback. You've proposed renting a new premises, or leasing one at a reduced rate. How is that going to work?
In response, Nicholas uses a positive phrase to assure Michelle that what she sees as a disadvantage could be a potential advantage of the proposal. He says,
it could be a big advantage if we did manage to get it. Ideally, an unused warehouse or office building owned by a corporation could be a good option, and we were hoping that was one specific area where you might be able to help us out.
He also uses the modal verbs could and might to indicate possibilities that could be actualized by implementing the proposal. A solicited proposal is one that a company is invited to prepare by another firm. For example, a retail store that is about to open a new branch may invite proposals from property owners before selecting one of them for their needs. In this dialogue,
we will listen to three speakers from a software solutions firm who are discussing a proposal to launch two websites for a potential client who has requested proposals from a number of different service providers. Frank has written the proposal and is discussing it with his colleague, Kathy, and their manager, Jerry. How does it look? I'm eager to hear your feedback.
It looks great, Frank. I think we have a real shot at this deal.
I think so, too. Shall we look at the pros and cons first? My primary concern is about the price quote. Considering that we're hoping to set up as well as manage these websites, we may need to reduce the bid amount if we hope to get the project. By how much do you think we should reduce the quote? I'd say around 20% should do it. That would make it more appealing to the client and still maintain a competitive rate. Another aspect of the proposal, which I feel could be a drawback, is what we're offering here. Don't you think we need a more defined focus on customer support? Could you give us an example of what you mean? What we need to do is offer round-the-clock customer support, and the proposal should outline what kinds of support we're offering.
Isn't that already covered in the solutions section?
It is, but the proposal is too broad, not to mention vague, in terms of what kind of support we're going to offer. I think it would be more effective if we could provide at least three kinds of support services. I think that would make the customer more secure about our reliability.
That makes sense. So, we could offer a telephone helpline, an email or live chat help board, and what else? A fax number?
How about something to ensure technical support for the downloads and software applications? Do you think that would work? How do you mean? Well, we could offer round-the-clock technical support for users who are having problems, at least those in the city, have an option where they could call a tech person over to help them set up the system.
Do you think that's really necessary for this product? The main focus here is the business conference, isn't it?
Well, I was thinking more in terms of the e-commerce website that they requested. Since Angel and Heart is a pioneer in remote desktop software, they'll be selling their products online.
That's a good point, Frank. I think it would be useful to offer real-time tech support as well. However, while it sounds good on the whole, it may turn out to be a disadvantage, since those other cities won't get that benefit.
That's right. It may just look like a shortcoming if we can't offer tech support to users everywhere.
I suggest we put it in as an option and let the client decide if they want to offer it or not. That sounds fine. I'll get these revisions done right away.
In this dialogue, we hear the three colleagues going over the business proposal that Frank has written and offering their suggestions for improvements. Since this is a solicited proposal, there is a greater competitive edge to the discussion as the team wants to optimize their offer so that the client is likely to pick them over other service providers. We see that the three speakers use different kinds of language to emphasize their points about the services their company can provide, which are still being finalized at this stage. Jerry's initial suggestion focuses on a common area of discussion, which are the pros and cons of the proposal itself. He says,
I think so too. Shall we look at the pros and cons first? My primary concern is about the price quote.
Considering that we're hoping to set up as well as manage these websites, we may need to reduce the bid amount if we hope to get the project. As the manager, Jerry's task is to ensure that the company's proposal is chosen by the prospective client over the other proposals that they will receive. He begins the discussion by pointing out that the price quote should be reduced to give the firm an edge over the competition. Note that Jerry uses the language of approximation as he elaborates on his suggestions. He says,
I'd say around 20% should do it. That would make it more appealing to the client and still maintain a competitive rate. Another aspect of the proposal, which I feel could be a drawback, is what we're offering here. Don't you think we need a more defined focus on customer support?
Referring to approximate percentages is a good way to draw attention to an average figure without wasting time on looking up or calculating exact figures. We can also see how Jerry uses two more common techniques to get his points across. Firstly, he uses a combination of the first person and a modal verb to express his opinion by saying, another aspect of the proposal which I feel could be a drawback is what we're offering here. He also makes a suggestion using a question by asking, don't you think we need a more defined focus on customer support?
Phrasing your suggestions as questions and beginning them with phrases such as, "Why don't we?" and "Don't you think?" is a good way to present your opinions and at the same time invite the listener's comments on your suggestions. Another way to present your opinion on something is to use phrases such as, "I believe," "I think," or "I feel." Let's listen to how Jerry uses these phrases.
"It is, but the proposal is too broad, not to mention vague, in terms of what kind of support we're going to offer. I think it would be more effective if we could provide at least three kinds of support services. I think that would make the customer more secure about our reliability."
First, Jerry uses the modal verb could to indicate how the proposal could be improved by saying, "It would be more effective if we could provide at least three kinds of support services." We see that he uses a combination of the subjective phrase "I think" with the conditional tense form "would" when he says, "I think it would be more effective." Note that although "will" and "would" are different forms of the same verb, we use "would" rather than "will" to refer to future events that have not been confirmed or which we are unsure about. We also see that Jerry uses a combination of subjective phrase and different tense forms to present his opinion on the effectiveness of the proposal from the client's point of view by saying, "I think that would make the customer more secure." Frank also uses modals to present his suggestions when he says, "Well, we could offer round-the-clock technical support for users who are having problems." Could indicates future possibility, and Frank is attempting to show that the firm could maximize its chances of making the proposal successful. The speakers wind up the discussion with a little more talk about what could be a disadvantage of the proposal. As we listen to that again, try to identify as many conditional and modal verb forms as you can.
"That's a good point, Frank. I think it would be useful to offer real-time tech support as well. However, while it sounds good on the whole, it may turn out to be a disadvantage, since those other cities won't get that benefit."
That's right. It may just look like a shortcoming if we can't offer tech support to users everywhere.
"I suggest we put it in as an option and let the client decide if they want to offer it or not."
Note that Kathy and Jerry again use the conditional tense as well as modal verb forms in combination with subjective phrases to get their points across. In this lesson, we saw that discussing a proposal involves making suggestions on improving the document itself and also the services or strategies that it is outlining. Subjective phrases such as "I think" can be used to good effect to present your opinions. You can also use the conditional tense "would" to refer to the possible effects of the proposal, and modal verbs such as "may" and "could" to express what actions can be taken to improve the proposal. Using approximate rather than specific figures can also enhance the value of your suggestions.
That's all for this Business English Podcast lesson. We hope you enjoyed listening. Business English Podcast is part of Workplace English Training e-magazine. To access the podcast transcript for this and other Business English Podcast lessons, you'll need to subscribe to Workplace English Training e-magazine at www.workplace-english-training.com. Workplace English Training e-magazine is a monthly interactive online magazine focusing on all aspects of business English training. It is suitable for pre-intermediate to advanced level learners. Each issue of the e-magazine is packed with interactive lessons to help you improve your business writing, speaking, listening, and vocabulary. Learning is challenging, yet fun. Here's that subscription address once again: www.workplace-english-training.com.